Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yana with Baldy One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. A world-renowned rock art professor from the University of Western Australia has declared that the Murugujuga Rock Art Monitoring Report, that's the MRAMP, released by the WA government, has covered up direct evidence of degradation due to the industrial pollution, has willfully misrepresented the important scientific findings in the report. Professor Benjamin Smith, the UWA professor of world rock art, made this statement after reviewing the full 800-page report that forms the key piece of evidence in front of Federal Environment Minister Murray Watt, informing his decision about the Northwest Shelf extension due this week. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Benjamin Smith, UWA Professor of World Rock Art, and we have him on the line. Professor Benjamin, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, good to speak to you. Thank you. Where are you based, Professor?
I'm based in Perth, so I'm on Whadjuk Country.
Beautiful. Thank you. Cold Country, thank you very much. Look, welcome to the program. It's a lot of work to be done, so just enlighten us, please, regarding the decision that's been handed by the Western Australian government. Is it a win for our people, yes or no?
No.
No, thank you. So enlighten us, please, in regard to the 800-page report.
Yeah, so the Murujuga rock art site's one of the most important rock art sites in the country. It's got over a million rock engravings, so petroglyphs. Mm. And, you know, like much Aboriginal Australian heritage, it goes back an incredible time depth, so at least 50,000 years. What this report has been doing is to see... They've been charged in 5 years to determine whether industrial pollution is damaging the rock art or not. The report itself is funded by industry and by government, and that has been a bit of an alarm bell for a few scientists who are worried that the findings might be compromised by the interests of industry. But when this report came out, it came out as sort of an 800-page report, released just before the Minister of Environment was due to give an industrial extension for 40 years. Mm. And that timing had people very worried. You know, why do you release an absolutely vital report just days before the most important decision of our lifetime in that area? It's a 40-year extension.
So they took away the time to investigate or to communicate the findings, you would think.
Well,
time was against us.
Yeah, exactly. It's not time for us scientists to really look at them closely and properly. they kind of underestimated.
So it was a strategy, you could say, Professor.
I think you're right. But they underestimated me anyway, because I didn't sleep for 3 days.
Yeah.
I read through all 800 pages. And what I found was that there was actually a lot of evidence in the report that suggested that there are real problems there, that industrial pollution is damaging the rock art. And although those, you know, they released a sort of an 8-page summary document that went alongside it that said everything's hunky-dory, but the actual report itself shows that it's not, shows that we've got real cause for worry.
Mm. So has the horse already bolted? Where do we stand?
Yeah, so what this report is showing is that the area immediately around industry, so sort of within a kilometre of the main industrial plants, those rocks have already started to be degraded by pollution.
Mm.
Now, the argument now, so that the West Australian government saying, ah, yes, an oversight, yes, the rock art was damaged by pollution, but it was damaged by pollution in the 70s and 80s. It's not being damaged anymore. The problem is that when you actually look into the report, it's very clear that the pollution levels in the 70s and 80s were much lower than they are today.
Yes.
So if the Western Australian government's right, that the damage started in the 70s and 80s, the damage is about five times worse today because the pollution is five times higher.
And it wasn't the case. It wasn't the case. Stack up. Sorry, Professor. So it wasn't the case in regard to should be high, five times more damage?
Exactly. So the evidence in the report is enough to make a very strong case that the damage is occurring at least five times faster today than it was in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, so where are we at with the Professor? Like I said, has the horse already bolted? Can we come back and discuss it further? Or the decision has been made by the Western Australian government?
Yeah, so actually the Western Australian government made its decision last year. It's now the Minister of Environment, Murray Watt, who's making the decision. And he's basically agreed to let the Woodside Northwest Shelf operating licence extend for another 40 years. But
with rules, with guidelines, with policies that protect Indigenous art?
Exactly. So that's the next phase.
Yes.
So he says there will be strict conditions. Mm. That's his exact words. But he hasn't released those strict conditions yet.
Sure.
What's slightly odd is that industry itself has been given these draft conditions, but the scientists haven't. And industry is now negotiating on those conditions. We expect any day now, so sometime this week, Minister Murray Watt will publish those conditions. And those are absolutely crucial. If the conditions are strict enough, then it is possible for that industry to operate without damaging the rock art. But they need to get their pollution levels down significantly if that is to happen. And so we are hoping that these conditions will be really strict.
Yes.
But past experience has shown that the politicians often don't have the the strength of will to really impose proper conditions of the kind that exist in Western Europe, for example.
Well, it's sad. It seems like there's more favouritism towards industrial businesses compared to scientists and First Nations information and knowledge.
Yeah, it's really worrying. I mean, this is such an important place. You know, it's so important that Australia is putting it forward as a World Heritage Site, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And yet at the same time, they're continuing to allow new industrial plants to be built right in the middle of it. There's a fertilizer factory currently under construction, and they've bulldozed a whole square kilometer of the site to make way for a fertilizer plant. We can't have it both ways. We've got to get serious. These plants could have gone anywhere in Western Australia, and they could have created jobs anywhere.
True.
There's no reason to stick it right in the middle of our most important cultural site, you know, that is one of the great places of the world.
So where are we at now? What's the next step? We wait for environmental minister, Mr. Murray. Wait for his outcome and his decision. Is that right?
That is right. Yeah, we need to watch that really carefully.
Yes,
and make sure that that's as robust as it could. There are also more permissions on the cards in the future. So they, although this is an extension of the existing Northwest Shelf, Woodside would like to expand and increase their gas exploitation to new areas, including under really important and sensitive environments. And so this will be a space that is controversial and continues to generate headlines for years to come, I think. And each one of those approvals obviously brings with it more pollution, more damage to the cultural heritage, and more physical damage to that landscape.
Well, we'll keep making the noises. That's what it's all about. I thank you very much for your conversation, Professor. Please keep in touch. A big shout out to the mob. And look, fight the good fight. That's what it's all about, Professor. Thank you.
Thanks for your support.
You take care. Have a good day. All the best. Bye-bye.
And you.
There we have it. That's Professor Benjamin Smith, a UWA professor of world rock art. And we still have an uphill battle in regarding the protection of ancient art on our rocks regarding our First Nation people and the existence of our culture. So very, very important. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. Your host, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. All he is here for your yarn on National Talk Black.
country, one with my mother, feel her above me. Sun in my face while the riverbed hugs me, but without our mother then we all have nothing. Can't even fathom the way they mistreat her, leave her with nothing and suck dry a river. This is a world that we leave for our children, a place left for ruins cause leaders don't listen. I'm sick of us preaching, they killing our motherland. Best believe she got that upper hand. You heard her, she'll reset herself again. Her biggest mistake was ever creating man. And this is what they done to her. Is it too late to fix? Maybe it's time that they listen to old ways. Cause old ways is the way she's safe for our kids. She's protected us. I wanna stand tall in that one with my mother. But where's the respect when they keep taking from her? Where's all the love and the death and the honor for land that you live on? They breaking the promises. Land of the lucky, not land of the mind. Destroying our country in front of your eyes. And you stuck staying blind. Stuck being quiet to the fact that the future's now dim for our kids. Yeah, grief rules the world. But I got a question. Where do you go when there's nowhere to dig? They poisoned our waters. They're killing our brim. They're gonna suck dry land till there's nothing to give. So as long as them county farms are in beers, my people will have nothing left for our kin.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live on First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, free vehicle inspection program. The Office of Fair Trading pilot program that takes away the uncertainty of buying a used vehicle by providing free comprehensive vehicle inspections for First Nation Queenslanders in the state's north. This is a fantastic opportunity. Don't mind being a guinea pig for. Well, look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Chris McKenzie, Director, Complaint and Program Coordination at Office of Fair Trading on the line. Very good morning, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Really well, thanks, mate. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, it's a pilot program, but look, over the years, how many lemons have I bought? This is fantastic, and look, protecting consumers, purchasing a car, vehicle inspection. So enlighten us, please.
Yeah, Trevor, we're certainly aware as the regulator for licensed motor dealers that our friends in the north have had issues with quality used car purchases and the ability to, you know, make an informed choice and the costs. So
yes.
Office of Fair Trading came up with this pilot program and partnering with a trusted partner in RACQ to deliver free pre-purchase mechanical inspections for First Nations Queenslanders living in North Queensland.
Look, fantastic. Has this been ever done before, Chris?
No, not to my knowledge. I know that RACQ have done some wonderful programs in training some First Nations people in North Queensland about what to look for and some tips to fix vehicles, but this is the first program I'm aware of that that we've come up with to see what we can do to help.
Okay, so how the program works and how it can help our listeners out there that are looking to purchase a used vehicle, what's the process, so to speak, Chris?
Yeah, well, the process from what we've built up there is to through our good friends at Good Shepherd. You know, they're the good money store in Cairns, I think at Port Douglas Neighbourhood Centre, Community mm-hmm. Grow up in Townsville. And our friend Karen and Good Shepherd is our referral partner. So if any of your listeners are in the mind to be looking to buy a used car from a licensed motor dealer, what we're suggesting is to get in touch with Karen.
Mm-hmm.
She will get you in touch with the RSCQ. Once you've chosen the car, the RSCQ will go out and do a comprehensive inspection on the vehicle.
And that's complimentary, yeah? Complimentary? Yeah,
complimentary and comprehensive, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay, yep.
And the idea being is that, you know, like a safety certificate or a roadworthy certificate doesn't really cover everything, as
sure.
you know.
Yeah, yep.
These comprehensive inspections will allow your listeners to, you know, make an informed choice about the car. So it'll test the brakes and what the underbody's like, tyres, engine, you know, any oil leaks, electrical issues, suspension issues.
Mm.
So, you know, your listeners might, you know, get a copy of that report and say, you know what, this isn't too bad. Or they might go, actually, you know what, this is a bucket of you know what. I need another one. So we've got no problem with you doing another one as well.
Okay. Fantastic.
The idea being is that, you know, we're hoping that it'll give your listeners the chance to make an informed choice. So they'd be, you know, it doesn't cost them anything, we're going to pay for it, and good. They can hopefully get themselves a good car.
Well, I suppose it protects both parties, you know, the dealer as well as the consumer. They don't want to be selling a lemon, and we don't want to be purchasing a lemon. So it just opens up the floodgate in regard to support and protection for both parties, I would think.
Yeah, indeed it does. And, you know, it's interesting you use the term flood because, you know, there's been a fair bit of flooding up in that area, and it's not uncommon that flood-affected vehicles get dried out and then put through the market. So they'll be able to find out if there's any ex-flood damaged vehicles using this service. So.
Good. So when does the service come into play, Chris?
She's good to go now.
Good to go now.
So
all right.
Anyone who's in the market to be looking for a car. And the other thing, too, is I've explained to a few of the people involved is that if they can't find the car they're looking for mm-hmm. up in North Queensland, if they find a car that's being offered for sale in Brisbane, RSCQ happily go and inspect that car in Brisbane and then let them know what that's like. So then we might be able to... you know, see if we can get the dealer to send it up there without too much cost, if you know what I mean. So,
exactly, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Look, I know that a lot of northerners like to purchase car from, like, the Tablelands, for example, not a lot of salt air, so to speak, you know. So that would apply also in the whole of the state, Tablelands included, Mount Isa, what have you, yep?
Yeah, 100%.
And, fantastic.
You know, with that, if you're buying from a non-salt air area, you know, you're going to have a better chance of not getting a vehicle that might be prone to rust, so... And that inspection will pick up any rusty issues or any ex-mine vehicles that might be end of life and the like. So, yeah, no, it's look, we've got a $30,000 budget there. So,
good.
You know, that covers a lot of inspections, you know, about 100-odd inspections. So,
exactly. And Chris, sorry, who's the company that they talk to, a consumer would talk to before buying? Good Shepherd.
Yeah, so Karen at Good Shepherd, yeah. So... I've got. I'll send you through her email and her phone number, and so they're a referral partner for us. They're doing a wonderful service for us.
Lovely. You don't have her details there at the moment, do you?
I do.
If you can put that across the airways, that'd be good.
Yeah, no worries. Her email address is karen.denham, so denham@goodshep.org.au, and her mobile number is 0458 973 022.
Fantastic mobile. And again, Karen.denham at?
Yep, at Good Shep.
Good Shep. Lovely.
Yeah, .org.au.
.org.au.
Wonderful people up there.
Fantastic. Look, this is a great opportunity. And how long does this run for, my friend?
Trevor, at this stage, we're going to run it through till about December.
December,
and,
okay.
Yeah, and see if we get enough inspections in there and, look, you know.
Go from there.
If not, we'll certainly see if we can extend it further. I think it'd be...
Lovely.
I think it's a great initiative.
It is.
I want to see it work for your listeners.
Yeah, beautiful. Chris, thank you so very much. Good talking with you. You stay warm, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you, Trevor. Take care, my mate.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. That's Chris McKenzie, Director, Complaint and Program Coordination at Office of Fair Trading. Fantastic. Free Vehicle Inspections Program. So the Office of Fair Trading pilot program that takes away the uncertainty of buying a used vehicle by providing free comprehensive vehicle inspections for First Nation Queenslanders in the state's north. That's us hillbillies up here, far north Queensland. So you can get in touch with Karen Denham, her name is, 045-897-3022, or email karen.denham at goodship, S-H-E-P, one word, .org.au. So contact her in regarding getting a free inspection if you're looking at purchasing a car. Fantastic. This protects you, people. So do jump on it. We are the guinea pigs in this program, running until December. So if you're looking at buying a car before December, jump on board. Do your due diligence in getting your car checked out, and you can get a free inspection. I think that's great news. Have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live in First Nation radio stations here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. National Talk Black, have your say.
Burn out your night, yeah.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on New Dingy Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, Too Deadly, what we're talking is Western Cape, Her Women's Health Forum, first of its kind, happening just to happen, Nappenham Community Hall, Nappenham Road, Nappenham. And look, spotlight on women's health challenge in remote Western Cape, York. I'm going to catch up yarn with Associate Professor Nina Lansbury from UQ's School of Public Health and also talk to Sister Minnie King, and the founder of this fantastic event. Ladies on the line, good morning. How are yous?
Good morning, brother. How are you? We're very good.
Good, good, good. We'll start with you, Minnie. Who are you, mob? Where are you from, please?
So I'm a Currag woman, and also all my clan. So our family is extends all the way from Western Cape, all the way through NPA and the Torres Strait, and also the Western Province of Papua New Guinea.
Oh, fantastic, my sister. Over to you, Professor Nina. Who's Nina Lansbury?
So, I'm a non-Indigenous Australian.
We claim you, sister. We claim you. Yes.
I do public health work, and Minnie King has been my teacher. She rang me up when I wrote a piece about girls and their menstrual health and going to school, and she rang me up and said, "Come and work with me up in my community, and we'll find solutions together."
So now you're joined at the hips, ladies.
That's right, we're joined at the hips.
Yeah, look, fantastic.
And,
yep.
And what a wonderful example of reconciliation, you know, just good. By a couple of women doing their thing and with their hearts and minds, and you can do anything.
Exactly. So let's talk about this fantastic forum that just happened. Minnie, this is the first time it happened. It's very sad. We're in the 21st century. This should be an annual event. A huge success is what I'm picking up, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, this is the first community-based and community-led remote women's health forum in the country, and we're hopeful that it certainly won't be the last. If the feedback and the absolute vibe, you know, we ended up with a war cry. You know, we're talking about 70 or 80 women who've come from around the state, including all the First Nations women representing the four Western Cape communities. It is a shame that it hasn't been done, but we're just glad that Western Cape is here, and we hope that we're there and we've done it, and so any remote community can talk about health. It's always there for them.
And when we're talking health, we're talking all aspects of health in the physical sense, the mental sense, spiritual sense, and all the above, and providing a platform and togetherness for our women to have a vision for the future. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, certainly for First Nations women are there, you know, and you know yourself, brother, that we live in this world. We also live in the spirit world, where there's a dream time, there are song lines, and there are those types of things. So, you know, but also for the non-Indigenous women who were there, they get the benefit of listening to us, for hearing our stories, hearing, you know, the intergenerational trauma that we've been through. But we created this extremely safe place for women to talk, women to share their stories, and I can tell you what, there were stories to be told and there were tears to be had.
Beautiful. Minnie, you wear a few hats. Tell us some of the other stuff that you do, my sister.
So with my husband, we own Emberley Contracting. It's the largest Aboriginal contractor in the Western Cape region. Mm-hmm. We do bus transport for all the mining people up here and mining contractors. We employ lots of families. You know, we've got about 70% First Nations people on our books, so we do a lot in community, and this is just one of those things where women's health is important to me. It's important to my sisters and sisters-in-laws and mothers, and for those women who've gone before us. So we do this for our ancestral women, and we say, well, you know what, today we have an opportunity, and we've got people motivated talking about health in a remote place in, and that's for the Western Cape.
So, my sister, we can set this up as an annual event then, yes?
Look, our major partner was Queensland Health, and it took us about 5 minutes of talking to the CEO of Torres and Cape Health when he said, I'm on board.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, you know, this is there's a lot of benefit coming back to the agencies that are tasked with looking after health in the region,
yes.
both general in terms of Weipa Hospital and Torres and Cape Health that comes under, and then Indigenous or First Nations specific being the Puna Pima. So, you know, to have it created from grassroots people back to these agencies, we've now created a platform. We've brought people, external subject matter experts in. And so these wonderful relationships and collaboration can happen from this point forward. But if I can just share with you, I
Please.
Had two old girls come up to me afterwards just now as we've closed and said, you know what, from now on, I'm going to ask before that doctor post that prod me with that stethoscope, I'm going to ask him, what are you listening for? Are you listening to my chest? You know, are you listening to my heart? I'm now going to advocate for myself, for my health, because I didn't realize I could speak up until now.
Beautiful. Look, tears to my eyes. And that's so true. We're naive. We just let the professionals do what they do, but there's no communication. There's no understanding. There's no education. This is so very important that we give our women a platform and a right to speak up and to inquire about what's going on with their body, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a lot of discussion. Look, there was a total of 18 topics in 1.5 days, which was a huge task. But certainly that some of the themes that came through, this is a basic human right.
You know,
especially because we're mentioned in the Queensland Human Rights Act for First Nations people to have access to health services. But it wasn't just about that. It was about when someone and a family member, you know, when that woman, when she goes to the doctor or the clinic, we want to get to a place when she looks at someone and recognizes herself.
Exactly.
When she looks at that person and she thinks, well, that looks like my granny, you know?
Exactly.
So that all there was a lot about education. There was a lot about career. There was a lot about getting our people immersed and involved in healthcare so that they become qualified, they become skilled, and we start to treat ourselves.
Yep, look, beautiful, fantastic. So with what you've just set up, having the first conference, Western Cape, her Women's Health Forum, this information that's collected, that now becomes part of the weight or the vehicle driving forward to make this an annual event, yes?
Well, I think, look, in the first instance, you know, you've got 70 or 80 women who walk away and their life's been changed.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Come the 5th and 6th of June of each year, they'll remember their time here on this country in the Western Cape in Napranum. You know, at the Napranum Community Hall that was given to us from the Napranum Aboriginal Council, so we need to acknowledge them. And they saw, you know, they had the foresight to see the value of this and what it would bring to the community without us even, you know, explaining what it was really for, other than women coming together to talk about women's health. But certainly, I think, look, the conversation is here. We're one of the largest themes that's come through this is the policy settings and the changes that need to come around and cultural competency and what that looks like.
Yes.
And certainly having representatives from a Puna Pima, having representatives, and we're talking not just, you know, from midwives, but we're talking about doctors and executives from Torres and Cape Health as well. The commitment is there and they're absolutely buoyed by what they've heard, what they've seen. And you know what, it's... I think this is a conversation, as you said, brother, a long time coming.
Yes.
But we've had it, and this is not the end.
Exactly. Beautiful. Professor Nina, look, as a professional in health, as a non-Indigenous person, you would have walked a mile in their moccasins. It would have been great for your heart and your spirit and your professional attitude, I would think, yes?
So true, Trevor. And what an honour. Like, you know, Minnie's been my cultural teacher for many years now. I've learnt a lot. I've learnt to listen. Well, maybe I'm learning to listen. I think what the power of what we did was we had experts presenting, but then instead of the usual conference thing where you ask questions of these experts on stage, is we turned the focus around. We asked those experts that had either come locally or flown in. We asked them to go and sit at the tables with the women, and then we had women having chats about that conversation. We asked them, what are your barriers? What's your experience of this issue? And then what are the solutions? And we've documented it all. So we're looking forward to having a really exciting range of outputs
yes.
from this. So definitely a big report with all those solutions noted down so that decision makers can see it and fund it and make it priority. But also we had a beautiful AV team photographing and videoing it. So there'll be lots of ways for the women to see themselves and hear their stories back. And
beautiful.
So we've captured their stories for them to honour their voice.
Yes.
But also we want to make change for the better
beautiful.
For them.
Look, fantastic. They say the best exercise for your heart is when you're bending down, lifting somebody up. And you ladies have just done that. So congratulations. Thank you for the yarn. We'll keep in touch. And please, we want to be part of the movement going forward. Make this an annual event. Minnie, thank you, my sister. And Professor Nina, more power to you, ladies. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, brother. You have a great weekend.
Take care. Bye, girls.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn. That's Minnie King and also Professor Nina Lansbury from UQ's School of Public Health. And we're talking about the inaugural Western Cape Her Women's Health Forum that just happened up at Napranum Community Hall, and 75 odd women at the table from four different communities. The conversation was deep. It was meaningful. It was open and a powerful, powerful platform, you could say. So, look, fantastic. Hats off to the ladies. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yana Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yana Strong. National Talk Black. Too deadly. Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recovery, coming to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, the National News Radio Service. A love letter to family, dear son, which brings hope, heart and healing to the stage. We're talking about a fantastic theatrical play that's been happening on the 28th of June right through 19 July, and Dear Son makes its world premiere. So with that, I'm going to catch up with Jan now, with director Isaac Drundrick, have him on the line. Isaac, very good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning to you too, brother. Yeah, I'm very well. I'm down here in Meanjin in Brisbane in the middle of rehearsals for Dear Son right now.
To you daily, my brother. Congratulations. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Okay, I'm a Noongar man from the southwest of Western Australia, born and bred over that way. Mm. I'm married up with a Yirindi Yok and Meriam Yok from Cairns and from the easternmost island out there, Murray Island.
Beautiful. Brother, thank you very much. A big shout out to your mob and connections that you have. In regard to this deadly play, Dear Son, tell us the story behind it. When we talk about the warriors of the 21st century, we as fathers and grandfathers look a very strong platform we need to stand on in regard to our beautiful sons. So this comes fitting, I would say, in more ways than one, Isaac.
True that, brother. You know, this book, it's a book called Dear Son, that's been put together by Thomas Mayo, who's an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander man. He invited 12 other contributors, men, Torres Strait Islander and Aboriginal men, to contribute to this book by writing letters to their sons and to their fathers. Mm. And some of the letters in this book are by, you know, well-known figures like Stan Grant and Troy Cassidaly and Jessie Mosby and Charlie King, and the list goes on. Incredible men who have incredible stories, and the book's really come about, you know, after 235 years really of the demonisation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men.
Yes.
So this is a book that sort of celebrates who we are and acknowledges the role that we played and continue to play in our families and our communities. So it's an act of defiance, really.
Good, fantastic. And we talk about deadly actors. Who we got on stage, my friend?
Well, we've got our local brother from up there, Mobby Yug Man, Jimmy Barney.
Mm-hmm.
He plays one of the characters, so several characters. We've got Kirk Page, Trevor Jamison, Wanaga Blanco, ex-Bangara dancer, and of course we've got Aaron Pedersen, which many of our people would know from his sort of huge body of TV and film.
Mystery
work.
Road, Cost of Living, all the above, brother.
Kaya,
yeah,
that's right.
Too deadly, brother. And look, a story, like we are storytellers, and here you are as a director for this fantastic play. We're still telling stories, and whether it be on stage, music, dance, art, what have you. So very important as message deliverers we are. Hats off to you, my brother. This is running from 28 June to 19 July. But it's open for everybody to see and witness, hear the stories, take on board, and to support yourself in regarding who you are and your entity as you travel through life, I would pick up, my friend.
That's right, brother. And, you know, everybody that I've assembled, including the cast and the key creatives like the set designers, sound designers, the actors, everybody that's involved in this project are fathers.
Yeah.
And their sons, of course. And so they come at this work with a real connection to it.
Yes.
And, you know, like you say, brother, like stories have created the world that we live in. Mm. You know, stories have shaped the way that we behave as people, as men. And, you know, we're showing a different side to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men, not the side that the media paints.
Thank you. Exactly. And I always say, my brother, we need more black successes, and not only on the football field. So when you've got to play like so, and you've been a director and what have you, it's another vehicle we use in regard to empowering, guiding, supporting, directing our brothers out there who are the warriors of the 21st century.
That's exactly right. And because this work is so connected to the actors, and it's also, you know, so important that these actors are representing the letter writers like Stan Grant, Troy Cassidaly, in this warrior-like way, because ultimately, you know, these fellas are really the letters are really quite personal, and
yes,
they're quite deep, and they're, you know, they're beautifully sort of thought through and considered and expressed. And so, you know, we're seeing a much more vulnerable side to these men.
Sure.
And a side that probably isn't out necessarily in the public sphere. So, you know, there's that part of the warrior that is able to sort of speak up and speak from their place of truth and
so
be
true.
Vulnerable in that space.
Exactly. And how we tackle adversity and how we bring our strength to the table. In regard to the play, where's the venue? On 28 June to 19 July.
Queensland Theatre and State Theatre Company of South Australia production.
Right.
So we will be at Queensland Theatre headquarters in the Billy Brown Theatre from the 28th of June to the 19th of July,
Look, fantastic. What about taking the mountain to the people? Are we talking about a roadshow here, my brother? Bring it to Cairns.
Yeah, we're working towards that. So
So
after the Brisbane season, we're going to Adelaide.
Yeah.
We'll be on at the Odeon Theatre in Adelaide from the 26th of July to the 16th of August. And now we're the companies are working towards giving the work more life next year in 2026.
Beautiful. Well, hats off to you, my brother. Congratulations. Big shout out to the Deadly Actors there, and also to our strong supporters in regard to our brothers who wrote letters. Look, it is fantastic. A beautiful vehicle, like I said, in more ways than one, empowering our brothers out there. You take care, my brother. Stay warm, and we'll yarn soon, Isaac.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Take care, bro. Beautiful yarn there. Isaac Drennan, his name is, director of Dear Son, which makes its world premiere from 28 June to 19 July, Queensland Theatre. Look, worth seeing. A powerful story in regard to empowering our beautiful brothers and out there. No matter what hat you wear, if you're a son, your father, your grandfather, and your grandson, either way, it's about looking at that brother in the mirror and being the best you that you can be, and being the true warrior of the 21st century. Look, so fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black. Too deadly.
We treat you, Mob. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Best of National Talk Black. Catch you, Mob, next week, same time, same station.
On the track. till you fall asleep. I won't stay awake too long. Can't wait to see you in my dreams. Man, it's so heavy. As long as you get me to be a part of your dream, and I'm sleeping as long as you let me. As long.